Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Andrea Cervi, Fred Film Radio from the Venice Festival. I'm in Venice VR. I'm here with Michel Rayac, the curator and programmer of the section. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, this year the VR section in Venice has grown a lot, become longer and larger, because it was just a demand of the public, continuous flow of productions coming to make you decide to make it bigger.
Well, we definitely see an increase in the number of content that is being made. It almost doubled from last year. We watched about 250 pieces this year, as opposed to 140 last year. So there's a significant larger number, more stuff. And the variety of genres, the diversity of genres, is also much bigger, and it's better. So it made sense that we grow. So we have more pieces this year than we showed last year. We have 40 pieces as opposed to 31, I think, last year.
You said that there was like a diversity of genre and of quality. But this increase of quality and genre is following the modification, the evolution of technology, I believe.
It is the evolution of technology that makes it better and more interesting, but not just that. There is also, I think, a bigger freedom that makers feel today. They feel that they can explore in a more courageous way, maybe, the form. I've come to realize that film is an art form that is about manipulating time. VR is an art form about manipulating space, and we don't know yet all of that what it means. You need to remember that cinema, when it was born at the end of the 19th century, took almost a whole generation, 20, 25 years, to invent itself, to invent its language. Things that seem completely natural today to us, like a flashback or a time cut or flash forward, all these things, they were not natural. They didn't happen naturally with cinema. It took 20, 25 years for filmmakers to invent those ways of playing with time and concentrating time or slowing it or accelerating it. We are now at the very, very beginning of this time where we need to invent the same thing about space, and we don't really know what is possible. So it's very interesting to see in 1 year how much filmmakers in VR have been inventing, trying ways with this and being freer. So it's an incredibly exciting moment, which is the equivalent of when cinema started.
The perception and the consumption of VR product is still linked to the visor, to the headsets and stuff. So it's not exactly still something open wide, because you need to have that headset. And the technology changes every like 6 months. How this is affecting the production, the actual productions, in terms of quantity of film produced?
You're absolutely right in saying that, in relating the quantity and the quality to the number of headsets, because right now we cannot say that there is a significant market for... There isn't a significant market for VR, because there are only a few millions headsets that have been purchased. Maybe in the world right now, if we don't count China, there is, let's say, about 6-7 million individuals who have bought headsets. Maybe double that in China. So it's very, very little for the moment. So it's not a market. So people are not yet used to watching things in VR. It will change. We think that in 3 to 5 years, the headsets will become smaller and they will look more and more like sunglasses, and easy also to connect. So it will be in 5 years the beginning of massive adoption. We think it's going to take that long for the technology to become slicker way, more elegant. And then in 5 years we'll have Gucci and Prada. They will be designing glasses that will look really nice, and there will be cheap ones and expensive ones, etc.
Through your experiences in these years of watching tons of hours of VR productions, narratively, what changed? I mean, how the narrative of films has adapted to VR or vice versa? Which is the most influential part of those two aspects?
It's a very interesting question, because the form of VR, as I said, is being invented almost as we speak. We don't have a vocabulary yet. I mean, the words don't necessarily mean the same thing for everyone. We're not the language of VR is not set yet. It is being invented. We're like a little bit babies, learning how to speak. So it is difficult to say, exactly what the changes are and where it's going, because it's inventing itself. But several things I'm seeing. First of all, we're seeing that beyond the field of entertainment or art, VR is spreading like wildfire in all kinds of different areas. In the field of education, more and more content is being made for educational purposes, for health and medical purposes. In the fashion industry, soon you're not going to need to be in Milan or Paris or London to watch the fashion shows. You will have them streamed live. Same thing for big sports events. Already, basketball is streaming. The biggest matches live in VR. It's going to start happening in tennis and football very soon this year. Major events in the cultural field, like big concerts, big festivals, will be streamed live. The real estate industry is using VR like crazy already. So what I'm saying is that around the use of VR as an art form, there is the development of all this ecosystem where VR is going to become more and more familiar. If you take Facebook, for instance, the social networks, Facebook has bought Oculus, one of the main makers of VR headsets, in 2014, and they paid more than $2 billion for this. They are expecting to have a return on their investment. Right now, if you buy an Oculus, you can access what is called Spaces. Spaces is Facebook in VR. But there's only maybe 1.2 million people who have an Oculus, so no one knows really about this. And Facebook is not pushing it, because they're testing it. They're seeing how it goes and seeing what they can do with this. But soon, we don't know when, maybe in a year, maybe in 2 years, they're going to start pushing it like crazy. When they will feel they're ready and it works well, they're going to push it like crazy. And when social networks will start migrating to VR platforms, everyone is going to want to have one. So it's about to start. So it's such an exciting moment now, where it's before the tsunami. We're still playing on the beach. Then the tsunami is going to come, and it's going to take over
erase
the world.
It's
going to take over the world. So it is so interesting now to be active in the field, because we are creating, inventing, and exploring. So the art form is going to be the result of this. And I find it tremendously exciting to see visual artists, filmmakers and film producers, gamers and game developers entering the field all at the same time, and meeting all of them in that area. And when you see a famous filmmaker like, say, Darren Aronofsky, making a piece that we're showing here, where he is connecting and working with a game developer, with artists in 3D, it's just fascinating what comes out. So the field is wide open and available for exploration.
And it seems that there are no boundaries to be that blocks creativity, because it could be like a narrative for a film can link to a narrative for a game and narrative for, like you say, like a video installation, whatever, everything can mix up together to create a new additional narrative. Yes. And is why do you think, or which is the if there is a potential development in terms of creativity from old-time directors, for example, like Darren Aronofsky is not an old-time director, but you have like classic movie director, VR movie directors. Is there a link, a creative link, on your opinion?
Yes, all that film directors, flat film, in the VR world we call it flatties, you know, flat films. So all flat film directors can use every single thing they've learned in the field of VR. The, you know, the hero's journey, how you write a script, how you make a story evolve, to lighting, to directing actors, all of this applies to cinema. But there is, additional to that, there is a whole new set of standards that you need to learn and that you need to apply. So there is a huge relevance for film directors to start exploring the VR film, as long as they're ready to experiment with new concepts. I'll give you one. In film, you are used as a director to think as a rectangle. You're taking a rectangle from reality and you're composing that rectangle, which is the screen when the film will be finished, as a painting. And it's an extract of the world that you're showing. And the art of the director is to paint that rectangle extract so that it takes us away, you know, through imagination. In VR, directors think, well, I don't have a job anymore because the camera is capturing everything 360. So I don't need to decide what to look because the camera catches everything. And they think that because of this, they don't have a job and they're not a composer anymore. And that's where they're wrong, and they need to think, because instead of painting just a square, now they need to paint the inside of a sphere. So it is more work than they did before.
But still needed.
But completely needed. And the way you're going to compose that sphere, the way you're going to place your camera. Let's say we're here in one of the largest spaces on VR Island, you and I. If I'm a VR director, I still have to decide, am I going to place my camera, my 360 camera, in the middle of the room to give a sensation of the whole volume? Or shall I put it on the ceiling? Shall I put it here on the corner? It remains full of different meaning and the way the image will convey emotions will completely change depending on where I put my camera. Yeah. So this is the same thing. The main change is, once again, two things. Think that you're not manipulating time only when you do VR. You're manipulating space because it's very sensorial. The viewer feels the space. And the second thing is that you have to switch from thinking rectangles to thinking spheres. That's the two main things.
Which are big things, actually.
Huge, because they seem obvious when you look at what is VR. But it's not that easy to shift your thinking to this much bigger scope.
Venice VR this year has added, it joined the Biennale College program too, because we have Biennale College Cinema, and this year we have Biennale College VR. So you chose project to be developed for next year, I believe. It has the same mechanism as Biennale College Cinema?
It's the same as Biennale College Cinema. We choose 9 projects that are just at the beginning of their development. The call is going out now, and it will be open until, I think, early November. We invite those 9 projects, the producer and the director of each of these projects, to Venice early January, so they come for a week in Venice. We invite experts and we work all together to help them develop their script. Then they have 1 month to send us their final script. Out of those 9, we choose 3, and we produce and finance 100% those three films. Mm-hmm. They come back early March. We do another workshop with just those three films to help them prepare. Then they go out, they shoot their film, they edit it, and then it will be shown next year in 2019 here at Venice VR. This applied this last year, mm-hmm, in the same process. So right now we're showing three films in VR from the College VR, and there's actually a fourth one that was made spontaneously by a team of the Turkish film we produced within the college cinema, who decided to also do a VR film, which, wow, we're showing here. So it's like a diptych where the same story world is painted by through a feature flat film, yeah, and 20 minutes VR film.
How many titles in competition do we have this year?
30. We have 30. We have 11 installations, which are highly interactive, mm-hmm, in which the viewer actively acts within the story to actually impact the course of the story, and 19 what we call stand-ups. And a stand-up is where you stand up with a headset on your head and you're watching something on your own. In the installations, the one new thing this year is that half of them can be viewed with more than one person. Mm-hmm. So you can be 3, 4, 5, up to 6 people at the same time within the same environment. So this is important to say, because a lot of people feel that VR is an experience in which you're very isolated, you're just alone, and it's not something you can share. This is not true any longer. We're seeing more and more pieces some of them we're showing here, where you can actually see each other, mm-hmm, in the VR world.
And interact
with each other.
And the interaction changes the course of the
narrative. Yes,
yes.
And the great thing is that when you see each other in a virtual environment this way, let's say you want to hold hands, for instance, with someone, you actually physically hold hands, and virtually as well. So there's a perfect synchronization or duplication, mm-hmm, between what you do physically in the real world and what you do in the virtual world. So your body, your physical body, becomes involved in the experience of the virtual reality you're in. So it's not only just your eye and your sound that are your ears that are tricked, you know, into, mm-hmm, the VR world. When there is a duplication like this, then your body is also part of the illusion.
Well, this is so fascinating. We could talk for hours.
I could, for sure. Yes.
Well, we will do next time again.
Okay.
Next year we'll be here again to talk about the additional evolution that will surely be,
yes,
of VR.
Absolutely. I mean, this year that's coming, it's going to be filled with new things, innovations, and next year will be again full of surprises.
Well, thank you very much to Michel Rayac, programmer and curator of Venice VR. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.